the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. A London family health team was caught off guard last weekend after more than 100 people lined up to try and get a family doctor. Well, it turns out the Grow Family Health team was actually not accepting new patients. So today I'm talking with London Free Press health reporter Jennifer Beeman about this miscommunication and, of course, the broader issue of trying to find a family doctor here in Ontario. Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, we love having you around here, of course. Let's talk about this lineup that started. This was on March 1st, the Saturday. It was very cold that day. More than 100 people lined up outside to try and get a family doctor. What made these people think that the clinic was accepting new patients?
So this clinic had posted a sign on its door saying, you know, if you've been here before, you know, we're accepting people. We'd like you to come in. We can put you on our roster now. It was really just meant for that small section of people that had come as a one-off in the past, but were, you know, still unattached, an opportunity for them to get in there. Problem is, someone took a shot of it. It went out on Facebook and Reddit, and 100 people showed up in the frigid cold on Saturday. I was out there talking to a few of them, and the wind was blowing, and it was snowing, and it was not the greatest scene for sure.
So this was, they were accepting a few patients who had already come at some point, and then the word just spread. Did they tell everybody? Like, what did the clinics think when the doors opened and there was 100 people waiting outside? Like, what happened?
So I followed up with the doctor in charge of the clinic, and she said, we were really surprised and caught off guard. So she got there, some of her staff got there at about 20 after eight and saw the line, and they're like, oh no, okay. And so they started to, they're kind of renovating part of their space to be a pharmacy and have other services. So they tried to kind of weave people in and around inside so they weren't outside. They handed out tickets to people to say, okay, you're here, fill out the paperwork, come back later. But, you know, eventually they kind of ran out of tickets and they were saying to people, listen, like it's over, but they did make good on their promise sort of, or kind of the miscommunication here to get some people in. So that's kind of the upshot of it. But people should know they're not accepting new patients at this point. There's still room in the practice for a couple more doctors to join. So maybe in the future, but right now it's okay. Just not a thing.
So they did accept a few people. Do we know how many, like five or just a handful?
It was most of the people that showed up. So they managed to kind of work it out. So there is a kind of an upshot happy ending to it. But yeah, they were not expecting an open call for new patients.
That's a lot of people to accept over and above what they've already got on their roster, what they had room for.
It was, but there we go.
They made it work. Okay. Well, that's good news. Okay. So talk about the expansion that you mentioned with this clinic. What they're hoping to have a couple more doctors come eventually?
So there's room for two to join, which is kind of a good thing for London and certainly East London. There's also a pharmacy that's open there. So the idea of the clinic and the team there is to provide a lot of different supports to patients. And so that's kind of the vision. And it's certainly looking to grow. And they're looking for other community partners to come forward and sort of support this model. So we'll be seeing more from them in the future, I'd imagine.
Okay. The Grow Clinic, who do they cater to specifically? Because it's a bit of a different clientele or patients, right? Is that right?
Yeah. So early on, it was, kind of unattached patients with, young families, new mothers, that kind of thing. People that needed a little bit more support, maybe a little more intensive sort of follows. And, it's sort of expanded since then to other people and other primary care needs. But that was the original thought behind it. But yeah, it's an interesting model, certainly, in a city that really, really needs primary care.
So how is that different from a normal family health team?
Family health teams can take anybody they want. Old people, young people, single people, families, new mothers, little kids. It's very much just the entry point into the healthcare system. So, a family doctor will have many different kinds of patients.
Okay. So last month, a similar thing happened in Walkerton as well, which you mentioned in your story. What happened there? There's a big lineup for a doctor there too.
There really was. And that one was particularly brutal because it was kind of a snowstorm and people were waiting outside until starting to wait at like 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. In that situation, there was a new doctor coming to town. So this doctor had room for people. So people heard this and the word got out. And so they all lined up for that. I think the first 500 got put on that doctor's roster. And then the next 500 were put on a wait list for a doctor that's coming later this year.
Okay.
But it was very much that with the pictures and the images from that really, really ricocheted around online and in the media, just because it was kind of a stark example of just how desperate people are for family
Yeah.
positions.
How many people were in line for that one? Because if they took 500 and put 500 on a wait list, was there 1,000 people in line?
It was certainly like
Several hundred.
several hundred, if not 1,000. Like there were a lot of people coming out because
Wow.
Walkerton, it's not just Walkerton, it's kind of the surrounding area coming for this. So no, it was pretty stark kind of reminder of just how, desperate people are.
Talk about, because I know you were in line in London talking to some of the people hoping to get a doctor. What are they feeling like? There's a lot of desperation, as you mentioned, to find a doctor.
Yeah, I mean, having a family doctor is sort of like having an ally, having a soft place to land, having someone you can go to, having someone you see regularly, even when it's not a crisis, like, hey, this mole is looking different, or I'm having a, abdominal pain, or these kinds of things. And so when you're untethered, when you're unattached, it means you're sort of going to a walk-in clinic for your care. It means you're not just going for that preventative sort of relationship you have with a family doctor. You're going only when it becomes a crisis. And so the people I was speaking to, a lot of them had, their doctors had retired or moved away or other things. And they're just looking for that safe space. That's that first point of contact into the system. So yeah, a lot of kind of desperation, but just really like they were excited that, they have an opportunity to finally find one.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the broader issue of finding a family doctor here in London, but also all across Ontario. How many doctors do we need? Like, and how many people are looking for a doctor right now?
Yeah, the Ontario Medical Association, which represents doctors in Ontario, has sort of estimated as of 2022, we needed 50 some odd doctors. I think it's 56 doctors. And there's about 71,000 unattached patients in London.
Wow.
That was 2022. It's now 2025. We can imagine those numbers are probably larger. Province-wide, something like 2.5 million are without a family doctor, but the OMA is expecting that to increase to 4.4 in the coming years. So there's a lot of people. Like Ontario's growing, London's growing. You talk about it on your podcast all the time with other reporters, and it's not an issue that's going away.
No. Why aren't there enough family doctors? I mean, obviously, this is an issue that we've heard about for years and years, and there's lots of reasons, but what are some of the main ones?
Anybody, I've had the pleasure of speaking with a lot of kind of medical people over the years and family doctors themselves, and there's a bunch of barriers out there, but I'll give you a few. One of them is it's hard work, and it's, there's sort of barriers there of people that are graduating medical school and not seeing themselves able to practice family medicine, in a clinic, in a small office. And there's a lot of kind of things around that. One of them is the way they're funded. Another, can they make enough off their billings to run an office? Are they going to be alone? Do they have a team around them? And the other one is just a lot of paperwork that they do. I think it's the average, the Ontario Medical Association says the average is about 19 hours a week of just responding to emails, to charts, to paperwork, to just all of that instead of spending it with patients. So there's that kind of, if you're graduating med school, is that a world you want to enter into? So
yeah,
it's not
it's a grind. That's a grind.
It is, right?
Yeah.
And so there's that piece. That's kind of a big one, certainly.
Yeah.
But even just the way that they're funded as well, that can be a challenge too. There's sort of team-based care, which is different than, the fee-for-service model that a lot of offices are on. So a whole bunch of reasons why we see not a lot of
the shortage.
Yeah.
Do we have people who are maybe coming here to study and then going back to their country of origin, or going to other cities, obviously, but maybe they're from the States or from another country and they're not staying here to practice?
So that came up a little while ago. I think it was last year. There was some sort of, we're going to guarantee all of our spots for Canadians. And the answer is that's not really happening.
Okay.
There's just very, very few people that come to Ontario that are from other countries. Most of our medical school spots, like the vast majority, are people that are from here, from Ontario, from the region. Even Western has some really great stats of like the people that come to Western med school are from Southwestern Ontario.
Okay.
So that's the upshot there, is it's not like we're shipping out doctors to other countries from our med schools.
Right. Let talk a little bit more about the funding model. That's been an issue for a long time. Is there anything being looked at or being done to change some of that? I know there's advocacy around that for sure.
Yes, I've been told by, kind of people from the medical association world and others and family doc, the College of Family Physicians in Ontario. When you graduate med school, you're used to practicing as a team, right, with other doctors, right? That's kind of how they prefer to practice. And so this family health team kind of model is something that's really attractive to family physicians.
Okay.
It's different than fee-for-service. Fee-for-service is you come in for a checkup, they bill for that. You come in for this, they bill for that. And so there is actually quite a bit of focus on these family health teams. The provincial governments, past and present, have really looked at this as a great model, as something they need to invest in. So we may well see more of that. Certainly London has a bunch.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just kind of a way that doctors want to be practicing, patients like it. So maybe that's something that we'll see more of.
Sure, across Ontario. Like, do you think London has more health teams than other areas in Ontario?
I'm not exactly sure about that, but I know we have a very, very large one that's been around for quite a while. It's Thames Valley Family Health Team, and they've got a lot of offices, a lot of things going. So, and they're really leaders. They're sort of people that speak up and they're kind of part of that like medical community that really is, just a good part of our system.
Yeah. What are we doing to attract more family doctors? Maybe even just entice people to study that in school, because as you mentioned, it's not always an attractive part of medicine, right?
So the provincial government has done things to try to make it so that we can attract, healthcare workers as a group from other provinces. So that's one thing to do. And, other countries as well, like, if we want to attract doctors to come and practice here, that's another thing as well. But the other piece of it is retaining the family doctors that we have. And, there are ones that are nearing retirement, and there are ones that are kind of exiting the profession into other sorts of areas of medicine. So there's a lot that needs to be done to kind of make this issue better.
Right.
And it won't happen overnight. This has been an ongoing kind of issue, but that's kind of where we're at.
Of course. We all know how difficult it is to find a family doctor. And I'm not surprised that someone took a photo of that and shared it on social media, because that happens all the time, right? If you're looking for a family doc, try this place, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, the people that have family doctors, like I have a family doctor and she's wonderful. And it's so great to have that. And to not have that, you really are kind of vulnerable. Like you're just sort of floating around. You don't have a place to go that's, got your back, that can refer you to other places if you need it. It's very, very, very difficult to be without a family physician. And I couldn't imagine it if you had children or if you had, kind of a chronic or a complex condition. So it's a critical need. Governments are paying attention, and hopefully we'll see some progress.
That was an issue in the election, the provincial election. It was one of the major issues talked about. The Progressive Conservatives obviously won. So what are their plans surrounding healthcare and helping Ontarians find a family doctor?
So they had a couple platform planks. I think one right off the bat was $1.4 billion. For kind of more team thing.
Okay.
Anyways, the Progressive Conservatives have that on their radar. Certainly it was part of their platform. They're looking at really bolstering primary care because they do see it as the gateway to the rest of the system. And also they see it as a way of taking burden off of other areas of the healthcare system as well. So, people that are unattached can end up in ERs and things, which is just a more expensive, less efficient way of caring for these people. So it is something they're looking at. They're serious about fixing it. Time will tell to see if those strategies work out well and if they keep up with the growth we're seeing in Ontario as far as population goes.
Yeah, certainly not an easy fix, but we're aware anyways. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Jen, for joining us today. We're going to be watching your stories at lfpress.com. I know you'll have a lot more on this as the weeks go by. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.